Women's soccer loses in the semi. Volleyball advances to the GPAC Championship yet again. And the Cal Classic is a Concordia sweep. Hello and welcome to episode 12 of Talking Dogs. I'm Aaron Spivey and I'm here with GPAC champion Kai Olbrich. Yes, you hear me right. GPAC champion Kai Olbrich. Kai, how we doing, man?
We're doing great today, Aaron. A notable omission from the intro is that men's soccer is GPAC champions. We wanted to lead you in a little bit and then show you the exciting news right now. So yes, like we just said, men's soccer has won the GPAC for the first time since 2022. It was a very exciting game. I know you were there.
I was.
That's what we're going to start with today. Usually we start with football, volleyball. Today we're going to start with men and women's soccer. So Aaron, I'm going to let you take over a little bit of this because you were in the stands watching the game. So we'll get your completely unbiased perspective of what happened.
So let me tell you, the game started out as a defensive battle beginning of the game.
Yes, it did.
And I was in my seat like a little bit like shaking as much because I was like, you can cut the intensity with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
But give credit to Morningside, to fans just showing up a bit on that side as much, though, which is very relatable. I will give them that.
They had a really, really impressive section of fans. They traveled, I think someone said 70 guys. They had drums, they had flags. The atmosphere was really fun for that one. Like you just mentioned, they traveled well. They were really loud and rowdy, and it was kind of fun to hear them.
Yes, it was. And the fans for us side did not disappoint. Now, in the first half, there wasn't a lot of people there just getting started, but the second half, everyone was there. Talk about it was a clear, packed house. Now, let me get started with the play-by-play of scoring. First half, with 20 minutes and 46 seconds, Oliver Benson gets the goal with Clemente
Suarez. They shorten his name on here, but it's Clemente.
Sorry, Dad, my apologies on that. Clemente Suarez with the assist, and that was a good way to go into the half. But then Morningside scores the goal, and it's a tie game. It's 1-1, and the fans were both hyped and a little bit scared at the same time. I was with Lance, and he was very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Until Richard Buschmeister scores the go-ahead goal again with Oliver Benson with the assist. Now, let me tell you, the whole student section was losing their minds. I'm talking about we were going up and down, like pushing each other and shoving. This game was very defensive on the last couple of minutes. And then, obviously, you guys won it as well. Now, here is some of the shots throughout the game. There's not a lot of shots in this game.
Not a lot of shots in this one.
Morningside had the advantage of having 9-6. While you guys had like 6 shots, but the foul count was a little bit high. You guys had 13, they had 8. But mostly, Morningside had 2 yellow cards.
Yeah, they did.
2 yellow cards. And that's a little bit of the game because the game was chipper. This is a championship. Whoever wins goes to nationals. And you guys did. Now, Kai, tell me, how are you feeling that this has came to reality after, you know, what happened last year?
Yeah, it's very exciting. So the story of the last 2 years, it's definitely a redemption arc for us. Last year, losing in the championship game at home to Hastings. The year before that, going in undefeated to the tournament and losing to Dort in the first round. It feels really good to finally get over that finish line, just the last little kick in the rear to get us over the line. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. Just to talk a little bit about that shot count. Said Morningside led 9-6. A lot of those shots came in the final few minutes. I'm sure you noticed this as well. We were bunkered down.
Yes.
In the last 5 minutes. It was lock the hatches, close the castle gates, do not let anything through, guard the box. We say park the bus. That's the soccer term for it. So they were getting a lot of crosses in. We didn't let them have very many good shots, so they had some shots from bad angles or shots from far out, so that accounts for some of the shot count. But overall, I mean, you look at the shot count, you look at the shot on goal count as well, it was a very even game. Both teams were good in this one, and we ended up coming out on top, so it's very exciting. They had 8 corner kicks, and we just had one. Again, I think 3 of those came in the last 2 minutes. You know, we're just defending for our lives, and, you know, anywhere besides the goal is a good place for the ball to go. So just clearing everything gave them a couple opportunities at the end. But ultimately, we clutched up. There was a scary moment in the last 2 seconds.
I know you're talking about that because I saw that too.
Yeah, so the ball goes out of bounds on the sideline, and they have a guy who can do a long throw, and so he can throw it into the box from the sideline. And the ball's bouncing around in there. He throws it with 5 seconds left. 4-3-2, and someone gets a shot. And Hugo Garrote, he throws his head in there and blocks it. Ball pops up, clock strikes zero, and that's the game. We all rush the field. The fans rushed the field, too.
I rushed the field.
It was a very exciting game. A very stressful last 10 minutes, I'll tell you. After Richie scored that second goal for us with 11 minutes left, like I said, it was batting down the hatches. And a very exciting way to end it. You know, in a championship game, it'd always be fun to blow out a team. But it feels better when it's a close game.
Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, you both are one, like, it's 3-4 seed. And you are at home, and you want this game to be the statement of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to fight. Like, you want to fight, but you want to win the fight. And that was definitely it. But you have to understand that was good momentum going into this game after you beat Briarcliff, too, beating them 3-2. That's what happened as well for those who didn't know for last game with it. But we're not going to talk about basically that semifinals.
Yeah,
they won the whole thing.
Yeah, we'll run it. We'll run through just who, you know, scored the goals in that semifinal just to give them their flowers as well.
Just give them flowers, but I'm going to give Morningside their flowers and their fan base. I mean, they played a heck of a game.
Yeah, they did.
And their fans showed up with it as well. So you got to give, we're going to give them their flowers. I'm going to give them the flowers and give them respect and saying heck of a game, good play. Basically, you guys had an amazing season.
Yeah, and it was a season in which they beat us as well earlier in the year. They beat us 3-1 at their place in the regular season, and we ended up getting the better of them this time around. But in that semifinal game against Briarcliff, just to walk everyone through just what happened on a pretty high-level view, Richie, he scored the winner in the final. He scored the first goal in the semifinal, assisted by Oliver Benson.
Mm.
Then Briarcliff equalized a shot from one of their center backs from, I watched the video back, it was 37 yards out.
37?
37, yeah.
Wow.
That's like mid-range, long-range field goal. But yeah, he just smacked it from 37 yards, went top corner, tied the game up. Then Clemente once again, he assisted in the championship game. He got a goal in the semifinal, his first of the season, assisted also by Oliver Benson.
Oh, Oliver Benson has been showing that unselfishness in this game as well, too.
Giving
the ball up and showing good ways. But the thing is that you guys have so much ball movement. I was even more impressed. But instead of the goal, I was impressed of the ball movement that y'all were going, because that was great ball movement to end that game.
Yes, absolutely. And then the last goal of that game, Richie, once again on the score sheet, this time off of a penalty kick.
A penalty kick.
Yep, so he got a through ball from Milo Higardi. He sent Richie through on a through ball. Richie got fouled in the box and then called his own number and took the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So just to break down the stats of Richie and Ollie in the semifinal and final. Richie, 3 goals in the 2 games. Ollie, 1 goal, 3 assists. So for sure, some standouts in those games. Really impressive from them. We also had the all-conference lists come out actually just this morning.
Really?
So just to show kind of who was on those lists, we had Richie being our only first-team all-conference member.
What?
Yeah, he had 10 goals on the season, so he certainly deserves it.
No, he deserves it. I'm not trying to say, hey, but like there should be more.
Yeah, you'd think the winning team would get more than one, but we got a couple second team members as well, so can't complain too very much about that.
Yeah.
Although you can certainly argue we deserve more than one first team spot, but just tell you who got the second team awards as well. We had Hugo Garrote, he got second team.
Yep.
Oliver Balas, he got second team as well. And then our captain, Slade Light, he plays right back for us, and he got second team also. And then our honorable mention honorees were Mike Weivel, Inigo Chavarria, Nolan Fulberth, and then Adrian Wambua.
Adrian is a
honorable mention.
Really?
You could say he got a bit hard done by that.
I'm not going to go too much on that one, but hey, see, you still won the GPAC championship right there.
So. Exactly. I'll say the one I was most surprised about was Ollie not getting anything.
Mm.
He didn't get honorable mention first team or second team, despite having, 4 goal contributions even in just the last 2 games. He had 6 assists on the season.
Okay.
And I think it was 4 goals as well. So he had 10 goal contributions, very big ones as well. Yeah, 4 goals, 6 assists on the season. So you could argue he deserved a spot on that all-conference team, but won't complain too much about it since we have the title anyway.
Yep.
And so, just to preview what's coming up, tomorrow on Friday is the selection show where we will find out where we are playing in the first round. And the way it works for soccer is 64 teams qualify for nationals, and then those go to 16 different sites around the nation with groups of 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically you have 2 games in the first round if you make it. Yeah. You know, if you have 1 game for sure. If you win that one, you go to the second game of the first round. And if you win that one, you go to the final site, which is in Alabama.
Alabama.
So right now we're just waiting to see where we're going for our games next Thursday and Saturday.
Next Thursday and Saturday.
So right now it's just a waiting game, see what happens. And yeah, speaking of a waiting game, we have the women's soccer team.
I don't want to do this, dude. I don't want to do this.
Where their season is likely over, but we actually don't know yet.
But it still hurts on this part. Anyway, do we really got to talk about this part right
we
here?
We do have to talk about this part.
All right. Well, for those who weren't there, our women's soccer team were at the semifinals, and they lost to Hastings 2-1 in OT. And Kai, I know you were at that game, and I don't want to talk about this one, but you gotta have to explain this. So go ahead, buddy.
It was a tough game for sure. It was an even game in regard to big chances, but if you look at the shot count, we led quite heavily, 16-9. You look at shots on goal, we edged it 7-6. So you could argue we should have won the game. You could argue Hastings took their opportunities better. We'll talk about the opportunity that we did take, though. We went down 1-0 in the 53rd minute, but then Hannah Kyle got her first goal of the season off a corner kick from Kirsten Garner. Mm-hmm. So she got an assist in this one. Kyle's first goal of the season, I think her 5th of her career. But then game goes to overtime. And if you remember from last episode, when the men, we beat Hastings in overtime, it's golden goal.
1-0 so, on that one.
Yeah, so golden goal means next goal wins, game over. Hastings got the golden goal 5 minutes into overtime and ended that game.
See, that has to be a heartbreak of a loss right there. I mean, if you look at the soccer team, they were like had good momentum going into this. I mean, they played a great game in the quarterfinals. They only lost, what, like 1 game?
Yeah, they only have – that was their second loss of the season. So, yeah, it's a tough one for sure, second or third loss of the season. Now it's just a waiting game. Hastings went on to win the whole tournament, so they automatically qualify for nationals, as well as Morningside because Morningside won the regular season.
Right.
And the women, they have – so, you know, the men, we have 11 teams in our conference. The women have 12 because they have College of St. Mary as well,
right,
which means they get 2 automatic qualifiers for nationals, whereas the men just get 1. So Hastings and Morningside are the auto qualifiers on the women's side. Now it's just up to tomorrow. We see whether or not the women will get an at-large bid to the national tournament. So it's just a waiting game. We really don't know. Even if they don't make it, it's been one heck of a season from them. Just to look at their record, 13-2-5.
Yeah.
So that's 13 wins, 2 losses, 5 ties.
Yeah.
So very impressive season. A notable win, Columbia College, second game of the year. Columbia was ranked number 4 in the nation at that time, and we beat them 3-1. Went on some very good win streaks. We went nearly undefeated in the GPAC regular season, just losing to Morningside and then losing to Hastings as well. So we're hoping that the women can get a bid to nationals. It's a bit of a long shot because they're not ranked, and usually those just go to ranked teams. But there's still a chance. We're holding out hope for it, and hopefully we can see the women at nationals next week.
Yep, you got to give credit to all the seniors that have done their best on this team, especially with Nick Smith, the head coach.
Yeah. I mean,
he has done an absolute amazing job.
In just his 3rd season with the team as well.
Yes, and you can see the team chemistry being strong right there. It really hurts them, and it does hurt the fans a little bit, but you know, they still came out and rooted for the men's soccer team as well, too.
Yes, absolutely. So their support was incredible in that game.
Their support was great, and We will always wish the best luck for the women's soccer. Hopefully they actually make it, because the whole school is looking for their backs. And obviously us, the people on the Talk podcast, really is hoping that they can get a shot to go on that journey, on that make a statement.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to shout out their all-conference members as well, because that also came out today.
Yeah, let's do that.
They had four first-team honorees. We had Kirsten Garner. That was, a shoo-in.
No brainer.
Nia Kirchner, who certainly deserves it, but sometimes players like her don't get the recognition they deserve.
She does get recognition, dude.
Definitely. She just doesn't get as many goals and assists as some players, because it's not her role. But yeah, she's incredible in that position, so glad to see them recognizing her for that.
Exactly.
And then we had Kiana Rios, and then Trinity Rowe as well on that first team.
Yeah. All right, let me hear your second team.
Yes, and then second team, we just had one player, Guadalupe Sanchez.
Yep.
There, and then honorable mentions, we had Sadie Mares, Taylor Slaymaker, and Elena Ruiz.
Yep, I can see that one for sure on, like, those ones. Like, not, like, basically honorable mention, but, like, those are people that are mentioned for sure, because, I mean, you look at Taylor Slaymaker on her defensive side, she has been doing really well. I mean, she got some of the goals to tie the games as well. I mean, remember that long goal that happened like a couple episodes ago?
Yeah, against Dort. Well. Yep.
Against Dort. I mean, every player that has gotten on these, like, first team, second team, and honorable mentions, they still get respect. I'm going to give, even though they are honorable mentions, they have my respect of all how they played throughout this season.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no one on that list who didn't deserve it. There's probably some who deserve it who weren't on that list. That's just the way those lists go.
It just works. This is how it works, though. But either if they don't, even for the people that didn't make it, you still have some respect from your fans as much as you have, because they've seen how much hard work you pushed.
Yes, absolutely. So just to wrap up this little segment, hoping the best for women's soccer as they went out in the GPAC tournament semifinal, and hoping we can get them a bid to nationals. But moving on to football. A little bit more bad news. I promise there's good news coming up. But football took a hard loss on Saturday to Dort. And this is one of those where, I don't know, Dort is the number six team in the country.
Yes.
Number six.
Yep.
So top 10 team. And we just struggled a lot defensively in this one. The offense was okay, put up 20 points against Dort.
Valid.
But we gave up 56.
Darn.
And you're just not going to win a football game giving up 56 points.
How many total yards did they give up on the defense side?
Yeah, so Dort got 575 yards of total offense. We got 330 as well. So offensively, we were actually quite okay in the yards category. 215 yards passing, 115 yards rushing. Gideon Stark had a decent game as well. Right. He went 50% completion, which isn't, great, but it's not horrible. So 18 for 36, passed for all 215 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. That's a solid day from him, especially against number six team in the country. Rushing, the rushing yards were a bit hard to come by in this one. But Calvin Sassman took the majority of those with 80 yards on 25 carries. And then Tyler Douglas got 19, and then Gideon rushed for 16. He rushed for the first touchdown of the game for Concordia.
Okay.
On the receiving side, we had Johnny Pools with 84 yards, and he led in that. He also had a touchdown. And then Maddox Rickardson, he had a touchdown as well. Peyton Atwood, not his best day at the office. He went 0 for 1 on field goals and 2 for 3 on extra points. Obviously, it wouldn't have impacted the scoreline either way. Notable omission from these stats is Adam Van Cleve. He did not play in this game, so we're hoping he'll be able to be back for the season finale against Northwestern.
Senior day is upon us.
Senior day is indeed upon us. So, yeah, just the, we'll say, the points by quarter. Dort went up 14-0 in the first quarter. We actually tied them in the second quarter, 14-14 in terms of that. So Dort went into the halftime break up 28-14.
Okay.
So at that point, you're thinking, we still have a shot in this game.
Yes.
It's still pretty close. But then the third quarter, Dort was able to pull away, scoring 21 points while we got just 6. And then Dort put the cherry on top with 7 points and shut us out.
Ah, boy.
It's a final score 56-20.
Yeah, man.
So that likely kills any hopes of a playoff berth for the Bulldogs, but a 6-3 season would a 7-3 season, would certainly be nothing to scoff at. 8-2 last season. You know, hard done by not getting a national playoff berth. But seasons before that, records more around 500. So 2023, it was 5-5. Yep. 2022, it was 4-6. So certainly an improvement on that.
Yep.
It gives you a lot to build off as well for next season if you can beat this Northwestern team, who are playing some good football right now.
Right.
And that'll be, like you said, senior day. That'll be at home on Saturday at 1 p.m. Bulldog Stadium. So come out, support all of the senior Bulldogs, and root us on for a win to go 7-3.
7-3. That's a good one. Now, another good one is that we got some great news this time.
Yes, we do.
We got women's volleyball heading to the GPAC Championships.
Indeed, we do.
And it has been a interesting one. Well, not only that, they beat Midland in the semifinals. But here's the thing. They beat Midland three times.
Three times this season.
Three times this season.
Midland's ranked, by the way.
Yes, Midland is ranked. But the thing is that three times. The first time at home, then that reverse sweep, and then this one as well. I mean, they won 3-1 in this one as well. I mean, it was... This one went to four sets.
Yes.
This game went to four sets for those who were there, if you weren't there, if you weren't there. It was a little bit of a little bit of a scare the first one. I mean, you look at the sets for each one. The first game, Midland won 25-22, and you're like, okay, this is gonna be a little bit of a struggle as much because like Concordia had like a big like up like 22-16, and they let them come back in this game. And then there's like, okay, this is going to be a little bit of a problem. Nope, not really, because second set, they win 25-18. So you're like, okay, 1-1. Not bad. Third set, 26-24.
This one was an interesting one. We were up by 5 points, 24-19 in this one.
Yes.
Midland scores 5 in a row to make it 24-24. And then we figure out, oh, we need to score a couple points here. And then get the next two to win it, like you said, 26-24.
Yep. And then the final set to capitalize it off, winning 25-20. Making the score 3-1 and making the Bulldogs go to the GPAC Championship yet again for back-to-back years.
For the fifth season in a row, actually.
Really? Back-to-back? Fifth season in a row?
Fifth season in a row going to the GPAC Championship. We still have not won it, though, in those five seasons.
Well, this might be the day that might happen, any given day.
Yes, and it's going to be a familiar foe in the championship game. So those last four GPAC final appearances have been against either Northwestern or Jamestown. Jamestown no longer in the conference, but Northwestern is the opponent for the championship match. If you remember back a couple weeks ago,
Why
Northwestern
out?
Came into our house and beat us 3-1. Now we go there with the hopes of rectifying that situation and getting the first GPAC championship in a lot of years for this team.
The worst thing it was a whiteout against Northwestern.
Yeah.
And it was kind of struggling because, like, we were full-on ready for that game.
Absolutely. And just to shout out some really impressive performances from this game, Ashley Keck was going off all game long. She was hitting the ball as hard as I've ever seen her hit it. 22 kills on 50 attacks, just 3 errors for a 380 kill percentage. Ella Waters, also incredible game from her. 333 percentage, 17 kills, 39 attacks, just 4 errors. Incredibly impressive from her. Ashley Keck was also doing the dirty work defensively. A team-high 23 digs as well. Savannah Shelburne took the bulk of the assist duty with 34. So had some people step up in really big ways. We had 12 block assists in the game. Those were split between Molly Martin, Ava Green, and Ella Waters. Kaya Scott also came in for 2 of those blocks. Ashley Keck got 1 of the blocks. So very, very good game from a lot of different players. And yeah, just an interesting stat. You mentioned we beat them 3 times.
Yes.
We still haven't won the first set against them.
Hey, it's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Exactly. We have won 3 sets in a row in all the games. So that first matchup, we lost the first set, won the next 3. Second game, in Fremont, we lost the first 2 sets, won the next 3. In this game, we lost the first set, won the next 3.
The pattern. There's literally a pattern on that one.
We still give
credit to Midland for obviously giving, put up a fight for these games as well too. Because
absolutely,
this is like because Midland is ranked, and you gotta understand that they came and they almost conquered. Obviously, that first set, but Concordia obviously remembered the slogan, let it rip.
And they certainly did, especially at the end of some of those sets.
Yep. And obviously, if you look at the kill percentage, Concordia had 0.281 total as a team. And having and Midland actually did a little bit well, too, because they were almost close to, like, 0.2. But they had 0.199 kill percentage. So they were close to, like, 0.2%.
Yeah, that's one of the higher kill percentages you'll see from a team playing against Concordia. Just to jump back a little bit to the quarterfinal matchup against Morningside. Morningside hit just 0.093, so half of what Midland was able to do. Again, some really good performances. Ashley Keck, 22 kills. She really led the team in that respect. Ava Green was 7. We swept them 3-0, so you won't see as high of kill numbers from a lot of the players just because there wasn't as many points. It was not close at all. It was 25-15, 25-13, and then 25-17. So we don't need to talk too much about that one. We swung for 283 in this one, so almost identical to how it was against Midland. And yeah, hoping we can keep this theme going into the championship match.
It's going to be a really tough and interesting matchup, number one versus number two.
Yeah, and then number two in the country versus number four in the country.
Yes.
So really looking forward to that one. It doesn't mean much for national qualifying. We're already a shoo-in for an at-large bid if we don't win the conference. So we've made nationals already. Like, that's not really a debate even. Right now, it's for bragging rights and that ever-elusive GPAC championship for these seniors.
Yes, because we have been struggling. I mean, you made it to the championship 5 times in a row.
Yep.
And right now, you're 0-4.
Yep, and it's not necessarily because we haven't been bad, for sure. You don't get to 5 championships by being bad. It's just we have one of the toughest conferences in college volleyball.
Exactly, and it's a good way to feed off of me right there, Kai, for that one right there, because I wasn't thought bad. It's like, it's just a hard conference, and both teams really want to give it their all. And like I said, you can cut the tension with the knife.
Absolutely.
And that is exactly what it's probably going to be like for this championship game, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But moving on to a season that is just starting up, we have the men's basketball team and the Cattle Classic Tournament, which, like we teased in the intro, was a Concordia sweep.
It was, for both men and women.
Yes, the men and the women. To start us off on the men's side, we had the men take down Oklahoma City University 87-76 in the first game of the tournament for the guys. Very close game. It was 40-39 at halftime. We pulled away 47 points in the second half to Oklahoma City's 37. The highlight or the standout in this game, Brooks Kissinger, without a doubt. He was coming back from a broken hand. He had to spend 4 weeks on the sidelines during preseason. He goes out, plays 34 minutes, 31 points. He went 13-for-19 from the field. Just an incredible performance from him. He was putting up highlight reel dunks. He was postering guys. It was a really impressive performance from him. We also had Jackson Stuvey get 14 points. Tate Odvidi, he got 13. Dane Jacobson got 11 as well. So really good game from a lot of different players. Logan Wilson got 9 as well. So just really, really good from them to take the win in that first game. And then the second game was an absolute shootout.
Yes, it was.
Not necessarily from Clark University, who we beat, but just from us and the way we were shooting and also defending really well in the first half. To look at the box score, we scored 51 points in the first half, 56 in the second half. We held them to just 27 in the first period and then 41 in the second. That brings the final score to 107-68.
Wow.
And just to highlight how well we were shooting in this one, we went 47% from 3. 23-for-49. We scored 23 three-pointers in this one.
I'm speechless on that one. That's a good shooting.
Yeah, Logan Wilson, 4-for-6. MJ Kofi, 4-for-6. Garrett Johnson, 4-for-7.
Wow.
Incredible shooting from the team. We actually had a lower field goal percentage than three-point. We went 46.4 from the field, 46.9 from 3. Incredible.
Incredible.
Another incredible just, I guess, statistic from this game is the bench points. So we had, I guess, 44 points off the bench. 44 points off the bench.
44. Wow.
Yeah. So really good to see that. And then Brooks Kissinger once again led the team in points with 18. Logan Wilson got 14 in this one. And then we had the All Cattle Classic team as well. So they picked the five best players from the tournament. We got two of them, Brooks and then Jackson Stuvey.
Okay.
Got those honors. Jackson, for his point scoring, you know, he scored some points in the first one, 8 in the second game, but especially for his rebounding. He picked up 9 rebounds in the second game, and he picked up 4 in the first game. So really good rebounding numbers from him. Really solid performance from the Bulldogs overall. Not a ton to talk about, especially with that second game. It was just overall a good performance. We shot really well, defended well. Now we look forward to the start of the GPAC season, where the Bulldogs will take on Waldorf University at home to open that conference season.
Yeah. Now it's obviously time for the women's side, because they are undefeated at the start of the season as well. I mean, because they swept in the Cal Classic as well. Starting off by being a ranked opponent.
Yes.
Arizona Christian beating them 99-63.
Just a blowout.
Just a blowout. Because in the third quarter, they outscored them 29-12.
Oh my gosh.
The score at halftime, Concordia was up 40-35.
Yep, so close game.
And then that third quarter, bam, scoring 29 points.
That's incredible. And the Bulldogs split the scoring very evenly.
They did.
We had Bree Bunting, Sammy Liu, and Kristen Wieselmeyer all with 14 points. We had Ayla Roth get 10. We had McKenna Robbins get 10 off the bench. So splitting the scoring duties very well. Shooting pretty well as well, 50% from the field, 37% from three. The 37% looks low just because we just talked about the incredible men's shooting. 37% from three is really good.
Exactly.
11 for 30. We went 78% from the line as well. That's really solid. So, yeah, just a really good shooting day. And like you mentioned, the 18th ranked team in the country. Now, what about that second game against the number 13 team in the country?
Now, going against the Mid-American, I don't know how to pronounce that name.
Mid-American Nazarene.
Nazarene. They won. That momentum kept going. They beat this team 84-57.
Wow.
Now, this game was, like, good. They were, like, shooting lights out in that first half. It was, like, they scored 24 points in the first, then 28 in the second, while holding Mid-America the 18 in the first, and then 12 in the second quarter. Like, that, it shows you, like, that was, like, that defense was, like, was putting on a show today. And then the shooting. The shooting they were 50% from field goal, like 50%.
On the dot, 50%, 31 for 62.
31 for 62, but then they were 53.6% at three.
Oh my gosh.
15 for 28.
That's incredible.
Then 7 for 10 for free throws. So they were 70% on that one.
Yeah, you look at Kristen Wieselmeyer's stats for this one, almost so close to a perfect shooting day. 6 for 7. On field goals, and then 4 for 4 from three-point range. Some other players who were really good from deep, Sammy Liu 3 for 6, and then Juliana Jones went 3 for 4 from deep.
That is a way to keep the momentum going after, you know, being a top 15 ranked opponent, and then you do it again and it gets another ranked team. Now Concordia is now ranked ranked too.
Yeah, number 11 in the nation now. They were unranked going into the year after we'll just say just straight up, it was a disappointing season last year. Coach Olson's team is very successful. They're making the national tournament every year, usually making pretty deep runs. Last season was a bit of a drop off, just to be honest. This season looks like it's back to the old winning ways. They are undefeated to start this year. Again, in this one, splitting the scoring duties a lot. Ayla Roth with 12, Sammy Liu with 12, Kristen Wieselmeyer with 16, and Juliana Jones with 16 as well. So there's not just one girl who can do it for them. They are all capable of putting up good numbers. Kristen Wieselmeyer and Sammy Liu were both named to the All Cattle Classic team. So really cool to see that. Just one little caveat about the the Cattle Classic. It was also a fundraiser. We mentioned that last episode. And this year they raised over 12,500 cans of food for Seward Area Food Bank. So just thank you to everyone who came out and supported that and donated, whether it was food or money, to a really good cause.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, obviously. Even for the people at Concordia and everyone that came to this tournament as well, thank you all for doing that.
Yes, absolutely. And now we look forward to the women opening up their GPAC season as well, also at home to Waldorf. So Waldorf will make that lovely six-hour trek to Friedrich Arena and will face off with the women at 3 o'clock, and then the men mentioned at 4:45. So make sure you come out and support both of those after that football game. And looking forward to a good weekend of Bulldog sports.
Yep, and then we finally get to the final topic of them all, cross country. As the season is finally over for those who didn't make nationals, and nationals is on its way. Concordia just did finish their GPAC conference. And let me tell you, it was a day for Concordia and the other teams at this meet.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very contested meet. On the men's side especially, we have the reigning first and second place runners in the GPAC, Vaughn Hendrickson and Trey Robertson. So we were looking for big things from them. They certainly delivered. It wasn't quite as good as last year, but they performed well and better as a team as well. Vaughn Hendrickson came in third place. Trey Robertson came in 11th. Trevor Kunchel, he came in 13th. Aiden Limbach in 15th. So all four of them get all conference honors.
And I do have some bad news on this
one. We do have some bad news.
So apparently, since the Dort guys did not win conference overall, Doan did. I know I had to say that. Doan did. Some of the Dort players that are individually wise outbeat a certain player, obviously, to go to nationals. So for the guy side, only one guy is going to nationals for Concordia, and that person is Vaughn.
Yeah, so the way they select who goes to nationals for these conferences is they pick, obviously, if your team makes it, you go.
Yeah.
So the men's side only gets one automatic qualifier to nationals, which was Doan because they won. Now, Dort got second place, so if they had won, or if they had gotten an at-large bid to nationals, like a wild card, then all of their athletes would have gone as well, which then takes to the second part of individually qualifying. The way you qualify individually is you have to be a top four. They take the top four runners who aren't on a qualifying team. So the top four runners who are not from Doan go to nationals.
Yep.
Now, if Dort had gotten the wild card, then it would have been the top four not from Doan or Dort, which would have put Trey in that number four spot to qualify. But unfortunately, Dort did not make it, which means Vaughn is the only one going.
Yes, and that is a little bit of unfortunate news for my boy Trey. I haven't talked to him about it because obviously it's his business and stuff like that too. But obviously congratulations to Vaughn.
Absolutely.
Making it into nationals as well too. But it's just an unlucky outcome that came in as the way for, obviously, for the rest of the Bulldogs that will try to make it to nationals.
For sure. And then we also have a qualifier on the women's side. So some more good news as well. Keely Green, who's been fantastic all season long, she ends up qualifying for nationals as well. Doan did not win the women's race. It was Dort this time. And Keely Green was the top girl not from Dort. So she gets that first individual qualifying spot and is going to nationals with Vaughn. So we wish them the best of luck as they travel. It's in Florida, isn't it?
I think it is.
It's in Florida. So we wish them the best of luck on November 21st in Tallahassee. That race will start at 10:30. Should be a nice and warm one. Although it's been pretty warm here in the Midwest this week.
It has.
But I think it's going to cool down next week. So they'll definitely be happy to be in Florida. I saw some video of JUCO National Championships, which happened last week. And it was just snowing everywhere. Windy. 2-3 inches of snow on the ground. It looked intense.
It did.
But they're getting spoiled this year, going to Tallahassee. No adverse weather conditions, looking likely. So we wish them the best of luck and a good little trip to Florida.
I mean, it's Florida, baby. You already got to know, man. But I think that's going to do it, Kai. Don't you think so?
I think so, yeah. We've got a lot of sports starting up. We have wrestling, who started up their season 2 weeks ago. As they get into the duels, we'll start talking about them. We don't have enough time to talk about 10 different sports right now. So women's soccer likely coming to a close, football coming to a close after this week, volleyball hopefully having a long season ahead, men's soccer hopefully having a long season ahead, but we have some more time opening up with some sports ending, so we will get into the wrestling season here in the coming weeks as they have a duel coming up today, actually.
Yep.
So wishing them the best of luck and all of our Concordia sports as we head into the early season and the postseason. So this has been Kai Ulbrich and Aaron Spivey.
Which, don't forget, we got a shout out to Selwyn Report, man. You don't forget about that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So make sure to check us out. CUNESelwyn.com/podcasts and check us out on Spotify. Give us a follow there. Like and please leave a comment. I get notified when you leave a comment. So leave one. And if you say something funny, we'll read it out on the episode. Yeah, so from Kai Ulbrich and Aaron Spivey and everyone else at the CUNESelwyn newspaper, have a good day and go Dawgs!